Good morning.
Good morning, Joni.
We're here with Mardell and Blythe.
Blythe Carter is here.
Yes, hello.
Happy New Year.
Ah, same to you. Welcome back for being up here in this lovely weather.
My last stop on my trip was Anchorage, so I mean, I kind of acclimated to it. It's all good.
Well, as I came in this morning, I was feeling sorry for those poor little plants that are out there having to survive this. And maybe my mental health this spring when I look at my poor little plants that are getting
frozen.
Well, it's not so frozen. The wind, and we don't have the wind like this out the road, but this wind is not good for plants that are outside.
Yeah, it's not.
At least there's a little bit of snow, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
The ones that are on the ground are being.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it's a good thing that there's not a lot of snow, because if there was a lot of snow, we'd have some really big drifts.
And yes, especially in this weather. Huh?
Yes, it's coming. So we're not going to talk about those poor little plants that are outside. Today we're going to talk about some poor little plants that are inside. We're going to talk about house plants today, and Blythe has lots of experience with this. She grows a lot of plants for all the rest of us that inside, and so I called on her and said, "Okay, give us some of your expertise, because I certainly am not an expert on growing houseplants. What I do is I give them a really good place that they like and do nothing, and my houseplants flourish." But
that's the best way to do it, quite honestly.
That's what I do, too. If you give them the situation that they like, they are happy. So, but we're going to go over some of the basics for those of you who have houseplants. Some of this is going to be stuff you know very well, but hopefully something that might inspire you or give you some ideas of why is my spider plant not doing so well or whatever. So watering. Let's start with watering. I have read, and my experience also is that overwatering is one of the bigger problems.
It is, yeah. A lot of people water them too much. Yeah.
So you have a pretty good way of, or how, tell me how you decide when you need to water.
Some of the general guidelines is, you know, obviously you don't want to water them so little that they're, you know, dry as a brick.
Mm-hmm.
But the general guidelines that I use with plants that are like thick or leathery or fleshy or rubbery.
Like succulents?
Or waxy. Or? Yeah, mm-hmm. like succulents mm-hmm. Or grass-like. Those plants, they actually like to dry out
mm-hmm.
between
mm-hmm.
waterings. Mm-hmm. And again, not brick dry.
Right.
But to dry out so that like the top inch or so is completely
dry. I've read
dry.
the top two inches, and I went, oh, that's pretty deep.
Yeah,
but
it depends on the size of the pot.
Sure.
So you got to take that into account.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And cactus, they need to be dry within 24 hours of watering. If they're dry after, wet after that.
Moist.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
or moist, it'll kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that.
Don't
yeah.
do that. Okay.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, there's the tender and the thin leaf plants. Those plants, they actually like to be not soggy or you know, wet.
But moist.
Moist,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this, I think, is really dependent on the soil you use.
Yeah, it is. It's really important to use. A lot of people who are new to this think, oh, I can just go out to my garden and grab some soil out of my garden and use this. And that is a sure way to have problems with houseplants.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You can. What I do is I can use a little bit of that soil, and then add potting soil or vermiculite or perlite into your mix. Because what it needs is that air space.
Exactly.
The pockets of air.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
And vermiculite and perlite, they're perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go down and you buy potting soil, I actually add.
You still add more to that.
I add because mm-hmm. It always seems too heavy to me,
mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
like a light soil, especially with succulents and mm-hmm. Cactus. I actually use a seedling mix soil, and then I add perlite or vermiculite, both or either one.
So with succulents, my succulents anyway, it seems like if I bump up against them, they're dropping their little round leaves all over the place.
They can do that. They probably don't have quite enough water. if that's the case. And especially this time of year, you want to do small waterings.
Okay.
You know, because it is naturally so cool, it's you know, again, if you overwater them, they'll form like a fungus or a mold on their roots, and that'll actually kill them, and then they
just
rot.
My thinking doesn't work that if I give a lot at one time, that's the same as giving a whole bunch over a couple weeks' time period?
Not with cactus, that's for sure. You might get away with it at others, but not with cactus and succulents.
The plants that I have that have survived, like the Hoya and some of those, they actually do fine with
they
that.
They do, yeah. Yes.
But
yeah.
Cactus... It's probably why I have a hard time with cactus.
Especially like I said, in the winter months when it gets cool and you know, just the environment's cool and damp anyway. So.
And while we're talking about winter, what about if you have plants on your windowsill today? Does it make sense to possibly move them during this cold weather?
Yeah, absolutely. If you see your windows, if they, you know, put your hand against your window or just even hover, like, it's cold, especially in this kind of weather.
And if there's frost on the bottom of the windows, like a lot of us are experiencing right now.
Yes.
Especially those delicate plants.
Yeah.
They're not going to tolerate this. The ones that are used to like being in the tropics.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And, you know, and also your cactus and your succulents again, pull them a little ways from the window, even an inch or two, you know, even 2 or 3 inches can make a world of difference to those plants.
And if you have the space, it's probably to your benefit to actually move them away from the window for these couple days that are, couple weeks maybe, that are like this.
Yes.
So what about cutting back? I have been led to believe that you don't want to cut back until you're ready for the plant to grow because you're kind of triggering that plant to put energy.
Yes, and that's basically the truth. Yeah, you don't want to cut back unless you want it to grow, like you were saying. And one of the exceptions that I do, there's a couple plants that I know that I've got that are always, they always die off during winter. Not die off completely, but a lot of the excess growth. Yeah. And a lot of the times I'll just cut those off pretty much immediately once the sun starts going away. But for most plants, wait until...
So what plants are those?
I have a prayer plant that does it every year, and I have an ivy plant that does it every year.
And so you just cut them back.
Yeah, they need more light than the winter or even, you know, even supplemental lighting can really give them. So, they just seem to...
So right now, some of my plants that go outside in the summer, like I've got some geraniums and Martha Washingtons, and fortunately I have a place that I can put them in the light but out of the way because they look really scraggly and ugly at this point. But I don't want to cut them back because I don't want them to start growing until probably a month from now or maybe a little bit more. Then I feel like I'm safe in cutting them back, and then they can take off when the light starts to come back.
That works. I do that with some of them, and other ones I actually cut all the way back.
Tell me about what you do with your geraniums, which is really different than what I do. So.
I do. What I do, because there's the pest issue with geraniums, a lot of people have aphids. You know, you bring them inside, and then your aphids are everywhere, and you're just, really regretting
it. Then you're really mad.
yes. What I do is I actually pull the geranium up, completely remove all the soil from the roots, cut it completely back, take the geranium and stick it in soapy water and wash it completely, and then I plant it in new soil and put it on the windowsill.
It's amazing that it lives through that. Yeah. I mean, I knew geraniums are hardy, but holy moly, that's a tough plant.
Regular dish soap.
Yeah, just a little bit of it, like a biodegradable dish soap, like Dawn or something like that. Just a few drops of that in the water, and that'll help get rid of any other aphids that are there.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see, aphids go down, and they actually, during the fall, when it starts to get cold out, they start laying eggs in the soil.
They're in the soil.
So when you bring that plant inside...
It says, oh, it's spring again.
Exactly.
I can live and flourish. And so that's oftentimes why you have aphids show up a month or so after you have brought them inside.
Yeah, it takes about
They're
2 weeks.
They're hard to see.
It takes about 2 weeks for them to hatch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Whereas in contrast, what I do with my geraniums is I just leave them in the pot because, surprisingly, aphids are the last plant. My type of aphids do not like geraniums. And so Blythe and I were talking about this earlier, and I went, really? You've got problems with aphids? Because my geraniums are the last place that an aphid that I'll find one. I have found them on there, but not very commonly. So what I do with mine is I literally bring them in and put them on a windowsill where they get very little light, or some I put in my root cellar where they get no light at all.
Yes, you can put them in like a basement that's cool.
They go dormant, basically.
And they'll be perfect there, yes. Yeah, if you have that. I don't have, unfortunately, a basement or garage that works for that. Yeah. So.
So fertilizing. Let's talk about fertilizing a bit. Do you fertilize yours, and are you fertilizing them now?
I actually don't fertilize my houseplants very much at all. Mm-hmm. Particularly in the winter, don't fertilize them. You fertilize them when you want them to grow. In the winter, there's not enough light generally, and everything's kind of quiet, and so you don't want to give them a pump in the arm to make them grow. So don't fertilize them then.
And then when you do fertilize them, isn't it a good idea to not go too heavy with the fertilizer?
Yes.
Because it's a small little pot. It's not like these salts and things have a big area to go into.
Exactly, so. Yes. Yeah. I normally try at like half strength of whatever the bottle recommends. Mm-hmm. And with cactus and succulents, be very careful. Go for one that's specifically formulated for those.
Oh, really?
Because they don't like much at all. In fact, almost virtually none. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then repotting. What about repotting?
I do that normally when the light starts coming back, late February, March, April. That's when I have a lot of time. You know, you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs waiting for spring to come. So...
And one of the things that I have found and did a little bit of research on which plants, there are some plants that like to be root bound.
Yes,
so,
they do.
So not all plants should you yank out of a container just because they are looking root bound. And I thought, why is that? Why do some plants like that? Well, the truth of the matter of what I found out is that if you have a plant, some plants need that to bloom. For example, African violets.
Yes.
One of the reasons they like to be crowded is if you want blooms on your African violet, they should be root bound because the plant needs to be stressed out. So a jade plant will get very big if you give it a big plant. I have a friend who's got a jade plant that's probably about 5 feet tall, and it's huge.
Wow.
But it's in a pot that is 2 or 3 feet wide. It's huge. It's beautiful. But if you want your jade plant to stay more manageable, keep it in a pot, and the root boundness of it will keep it. Mm-hmm. So some plants you can keep in the same container for many, many years.
Yes, you definitely can. Mm-hmm. But other plants
to have their wings to spread.
Their space. I normally do my plants every 2 to 3 years, and it's a good time to renew the soil, to, you know, get rid of all those salts that have built up from chemical fertilizers, just to check the general health of the roots to make sure that the plant is draining, the pot's draining properly. You know, that kind of stuff. It's also a great time to create divides and give them to your friends or, you know, whatever.
I am such a poor houseplant mama.
Meaning you don't divide them?
I don't divide. Mm-hmm. I don't repot. I don't fertilize. Well, I just like water them.
Let
when
me read
dry.
You the list of plants that I got off the internet of ones that like to be root bound. And this is why those of us who are bad houseplant mamas can get by with it. These are the ones who like to be crowded: jade, aloe vera, Hoya, African violet, spider plants, Boston fern, peace lily, Christmas cactus, Boston fern, asparagus fern. Those all are very common houseplants, and the internet, now is the internet always right, but they said that they don't mind being root bound. So you're off the hook a little bit, Joan.
A little bit.
So.
Not with my ivies, I guess,
yeah.
Though.
So we talked about winter a little bit, but that does affect houseplants in other ways, even if we don't have this really severe weather. The heat that we have in our houses, which many of us have wood heat, is really drying, desiccating. And so that is also something that you should think about when yes. you're doing your houseplants.
Don't house keep plants. Your houseplants too close to the wood stove.
Yeah.
And also the toy, the draft from a toy stove can really mess them up too. So
would it be better to put them in a cool corner? Because my house has, you know, the warm, the hot spaces by the wood stove, and then it has cooler places that are like 20 feet away from the wood stove.
I would go for a place that's sort of, that's got less extremes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. in this weather, it's been pretty extreme because my stove goes out at nighttime, the whole house is cold,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it's hours getting the heat back up.
Yes, that's one of those things that can be real very challenging with wood
challenging
heat.
For houseplants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But before we end, I wanted to mention why we even want to have houseplants. Besides those of us who are gardeners, it sometimes just makes us feel good. But the studies, I think it's really fascinating. The studies are showing that plants in a house or a building, it's why you go in office buildings and everybody has plants. The studies are showing that people seeing green is having an effect on mental health. Mm-hmm. So having plants in your house is good for your mind, but it's also, they're air purifiers. And some of them yes. are better than others.
Yes. Yeah.
Spider plants are known for that. And they actually clean out the air that's in your mm-hmm. in your house from all those cleaning fluids we use and exhausts.
And different plants are good in different rooms, like mm-hmm. in the bedroom. You know, you could put different plants that help you calm down and go mm-hmm. to sleep mm-hmm. and whatnot. And there's all that info on the Mr.
That's right.
Google.
Yes. And Google's very smart about plants.
Yeah.
So so do your research about your plants. It's pretty easy to identify. You know, people say, I have no idea what this is. It's not too hard to figure out what yes. most of the common plants are.
Yeah, yeah, most of them you can mm-hmm. find. And one last thing, you know, try experiment because, hey, you know, we're not all great with every plant. I kill Christmas cactuses, but orchids love me. So
I know, isn't that
try.
Strange?
Yeah.
I've killed a few orchids, but Christmas cactus, I can't hardly kill them. So,
yeah,
it's very interesting how we each have. But that is indicative of the different settings, the different house settings. I mean, mm-hmm. it's nothing that you are doing. I'm sure it's the setting that
I have tried everything, yeah. and I still kill them.
Huh, right. Interesting.
Right. Mm. Well, thank you so much. This
thank
has
you.
Been an interesting conversation. The
yeah.
conversation with
keep
Blythe
those,
and Mardell.
Keep those houseplants alive.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Keep them happy.